Chapter 5, The Glory of the Lord is Manifested in His Saints. Today I have carefully watched Maharshi when he was officiating, or as the Hindus say, giving darshan, which means he's visible for all to see. From morning till noon and from 3:30 p.m. till evening, he sits in the temple hall or under the bamboo roof near the library, surrounded by a group of pupils and residences of the ashram, and by a crowd of visitors and pilgrims. He speaks very little, and cases where he directly addresses anyone are rare indeed. His face is full of inspiration, unearthly serenity and power, of infinite kindness and understanding. Big, dark eyes seem to look into the infinite, above the heads of all present, without appearing to concentrate on anyone in particular, and yet penetrating to the deepest recesses of each individual heart. This can be felt as one looks into them, and it is really difficult not to plunge our gaze into those eyes when we are near Maharshi. He reigns in silence over this varied crowd, being a focus for so many different human feelings. The ways of our thoughts are being changed here. New ideas enter the field of our consciousness. The atmosphere of utter purity and peace, constantly radiated by the sage, compels each one of us to examine and verify, as it were, all our beliefs and opinions. Yet it comes by itself spontaneously without any effort on our part. It is not imposed. It is simply the result of a sudden enlargement of consciousness. This inner process is accompanied by a sense of great happiness. It is not passivity of the mind. Dolz fa ne sete, as the Italians say, not at all. This state is our birthright, as it were, earned by long practice of concentration and purification of the mind from all the rubbish of worldly thoughts. In the presence of Maharshi, this process becomes free and natural. It ceases to be a labor and a toil, an effort without any certainty of success, as it so often is. I come out for a moment from my meditation to look at the Master. I know that in a second I shall be able to return to it with the greatest ease, plunging again into the same inner world. Maharshi is sitting as before, with his head slightly bent over one shoulder, with his immobile gaze fixed into the vast beyond. The electric lights have been switched on, and women who have to leave the hall at 6 p.m. have already left. Only about a dozen people remain who every night take part in the most mystical, invisible worship performed by Maharshi at this hour of the day. This word worship may not be either a strict or an adequate expression, but for a moment, I cannot find a better one, and I do not want to seek for words laboriously. The sensitive reader will understand, and to those who are unable to grasp these things, even the most suitable words will be of no avail. I suddenly realize that these are the last months of Maharshi's service to humanity in this, his human form. The days of his life in this body may be really few, in spite of the fact that some of his devotees are still hoping for a miracle. I hear there will be one more operation. Personally, I am unable to await any miracle. The glow, the reflections of the real, which I see through the Master, illumines the mind. It sees more clearly now and perhaps is nearer to truth. If anything happens according to the highest will of that, which establishes the laws of existence, out of which we are able to see only effects, it would be senseless to hope for the same will to contradict itself. If the last sacrifice of the saint has taken the form of an incurable disease, according to laws known to us, which always leads in an appropriate time to the death of the physical body, how then can it happen that his will be resisted? It would be a contradiction impossible to admit, even for the limited human mind. Hence, I personally have no consolation in this hope for a miracle. But I have another one, namely, that I do not believe at all in the departure of the Master. Although I have not by any means yet won my last battle with matter, or rather with its illusion, and probably my way to this victory is still long, I already do not believe in the real existence of the enemy. If he were real, there would be no path, no possibility of victory at all, as the real cannot be overthrown. For me, Maharshi will never depart. It was not without a definite purpose that it has been given to us who are now surrounding the sage to be born in the same time with him and to have the privilege of seeing the light he sheds upon the world. I remember his own words spoken to a pupil on this matter. A wave of endless bliss surges through and overwhelms me. It carries me beyond thoughts, beyond suffering and grief. Neither death nor change exists there, only infinite being. Time disappears. There is no need of it anymore. I don't know how long this wave of light reigned within me. At last I felt I should look through my closed eyelids at the Master, and without opening my eyes, I see, or rather know, that the saint has fixed his immovable gaze upon me. That is the key to my experience.